right, let's stand up. Why don't you greet each other as you stand up? Let's greet each other with the love of the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the love and the life that you have given to us. Lord, that's why we're here. God, we're not here because of religion. We're here because of you. We're here to draw near to you, Lord, and to be filled with you and to worship you and glorify you and enjoy you and enjoy your presence. God, we thank you that you saved us. Lord, we thank you that you brought us into a glorious life. Lord, I just pray that as we sing this morning, Lord, that our hearts will be inclined to sing to you. So we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We'll gather together, lift up your name. Call on our Savior, fall on your grace, yeah. If you guys don't mind, I've never done this ever, but I'm going to drop this one key lower because if we get to the chorus in this key, I'm going to die, so. And I'm sure all the men in here are going to say amen that I do this, so here we go. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We'll gather together, lift up your name, the call on our Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. The morning turns, songs of praise, our God saves, our God saves. Sing in the name of the Father, in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We'll gather together, lift up your name, the call on our Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your songs. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see that. And the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. And there is hope in your name. The morning turns to song.
See the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sins. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see an ear revival stirring as we pray. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. seen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom was. As I walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna.
We thank you and we praise you, Lord, that we do have the hope of heaven. God, that in you, Lord, and in the promises that we have, Lord, that we will one day see you face to face, coming in glory, coming in power to bring your church home, Lord. And God, that is why we're here, Lord. This is just a small taste of what is to come. But Lord, we thank you that even now you usher us into your throne room. Even now you invite us into your presence. And God, I pray that we won't take that lightly, Lord, but more and more we will embrace that truth and that reality, Lord. The greater reality of eternity with you. So much greater than anything that we have here on earth. And so, Lord, may we embrace you. May we worship you, Lord. I pray that those who are hurting right now and those, Lord, who just do not feel like they can come in your presence, God, I pray that you will just gracefully allow them to surrender those things to you, Lord, before your altar. Lord, knowing that the cross covers all sins. Lord, knowing that you have conquered sin and death for us on our behalf. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide, forgiveness is born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought. Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Sing, bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Sure, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Bow down before. Before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Lord, we thank you that you have conquered those things for us, Lord, that rather because of your life and because you've risen from the dead, Lord, you have risen us from the dead, Lord, and you've risen us from death to life. And God, as we get into your word today, I pray that you renew our hearts and our minds. Lord, that you may speak through Pastor Rich. Lord, that our hearts will be attentive to your words. Lord, as you've called us today, to study to show ourselves approved, to allow the word of God to renew us, to allow the word of God to pierce our hearts. And I pray that you would do that very thing today, Lord. Make us more and more into the image of the risen Savior. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Good morning. Okay. All right. Maybe I'm not up. It's good to see everybody here today. A full crowd, it looks like, when everybody's standing up from the back. So all you folks that are here that I don't recognize, and that's not saying a whole lot because I do good to remember my name sometimes. So if you're new here, please, by all means, pick up a card at the desk as you walk in and fill it out for us. We're not going to sign you up for anything or anything like that. We just want to keep in contact with you, and if there's anything that you need, we want to make sure that we provide for you. So please, by all means, fill that out for us. And then for announcements today, volunteers needed, always just come and ask, okay? If you feel a need to come and serve and there's something that you want to do, please just come and let either Pastor Rich or myself know, and we can definitely get you plugged in somewhere, okay? We have a lot of opportunities, everything from children's church. And then the one thing also, and I hope I don't take too long with announcements here, but the one thing to really think about is there's a lot of folks who, you know, when we first opened up the church, that they volunteered to be here for a year, you know, some of them from the main campus. And we may retain some of those, and other of us may stay, but we still see here towards the end of the year that we may be losing those folks back to the main campus, and then we're going to be operating on the folks that are coming out here. So we really need to look for you guys to step up, and please volunteer if you do, because you've got some folks that are doing all the volunteering, and what happens is they get very disgruntled after a while. And they just need a little bit of help. So that little bit of help would be much appreciated. And we by no means need you to, you know, serve every weekend or anything like that. But just a little bit of time to fill in, to kind of alleviate and just help things out when it comes to the different things that we have going on here at the church. So please think about that. And we always need people to clean. I keep on seeing the same ladies' names on the list back there. So please, if you're able to do that, that would be great as well. The Spanish Bible study we've been talking about is actually getting ready to start this next week, May 3rd. So that's a big thing going on here. It's free of charge. Please come out if you can understand that, because I can't. But 6:30 to 8 p.m. or 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. On May 3rd, which will be this Thursday, and that'll be our first one, so please come out. Men of Calvary, Men's Breakfast, we just had ours yesterday, but after we got finished, nobody signed up to bring food for the next one. Nobody. So me and Pastor Rich are not bringing it next time. So if you don't sign up, then all you're going to get is muffins and fruit, okay? So, and I know what Pastor Rich and myself brought was really good this last time. So please, there's a sign-up sheet downstairs for the men. So please sign up for that. If not, like I said, we're just going to have muffins and fruit. So youth ministry, we have that going on, and we're hoping that our numbers will pick up after the kiddos get out of school. But our next meeting for that's going to be May 13th, all right? So grades 6 through 12 for that. Community Fun Night coming up here on May 25th, which is going to be a Friday from 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And I hear we have a bunch of people now doing chili, right? So was it 9 or 10 or something like that? 10. So 10. So that'll be fun. And then also there'll be games and stuff like that going on. And also, please, we have little flyers that are out front at the desk. If you'd please take those and just pass those around the community and stuff like that to let people know that we are doing that, and so that we have as much as a turnout to come out as we can. And it's just our opportunity to love on the community and let them know that we're here and that we're here for them. And that's a huge thing for us here, is to be able to spread Jesus Christ throughout the community. So please grab a flyer, get those out on cars and stuff like that, and they'll know what's going on. And also, we need volunteers for that as well. So as you can see, we need a lot of volunteers. So for that night, we'll need people for setup and tear down and also volunteering during the events and stuff that are going on. We don't want any kids bouncing out of the bounce house or anything like that. So it's always good to have an adult there to make sure that they're not hurting themselves or somebody else. So please, we need the folks to help out with that. Ellicott Bible Vacation Bible School is coming up. Again, if you've got the main bulletin, you'll notice that it's in there twice, right? Because the main campus is doing theirs, and Ellicott is doing theirs as well. So the one that's in the handout is ours, which is going to be here Monday, July 23rd through Wednesday, July 25th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and it's going to be for children K through 6. Again, we'll need volunteers for that. That one's a little bit away, but please think about that. And then just a couple announcements from the main bulletin. Rally Point is coming up, so those folks that are leadership here that are coming and volunteering and doing volunteer stuff here with us in leadership positions, we're going to be having a Rally Point that will give you an opportunity to get together and fellowship with other folks that are volunteering in the church and leadership in the church. That's going to be Sunday, May 20th, 12:30. It'll be at the cafe at the main campus. Now, the other thing, too, is they generally serve food. There's usually a meal with that. So what will most likely happen is we'll split right after service here and go to the main campus for that. And then you other folks that are leadership, too, please think about coming out for that. And then one last thing, something near and dear to my heart and some other folks here, too, that have actually attended it is the School of Discipleship. I attended that at the main campus. Pastor Dan Hooker is the one that heads that up. And I did 2 years of the School of Discipleship and then was also selected for School of Ministry after that. I can't say enough good things about the School of Discipleship. So if you're interested and you want to kind of further the knowledge that you have of your Lord and Savior and actually kind of branch into some different things that kind of go along with it, and or maybe you're the type of person where you want to do more in the ministry, maybe you feel that calling to do more for your Lord and Savior than just sit in the seat and listen to Pastor Rich or myself talk all day. So it's just an excellent opportunity to get out there and learn a little bit more about the Word, and it's a great time. If nothing else, the fellowship alone will be enough for you to remember for the rest of your days, because I still remember the guys and gals that were in there whenever I was doing it. So please think about that. There is a price tag attached to that. But it'll be a good thing. You'll never forget it. Okay, and thank you guys for showing up. And Pastor Rich.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. Just a second to the whether it's the Spanish teaching Bible study, and they're going to start in the Book of John, or whether it's the flyer for the community fun night. My preference would be that you hand it in somebody's hand, shake their hand, and saying, hey, I'm going to be there at such and such a time, and personally invite them and be here for them when they come. And so try to make it a personal invitation as you do those kinds of things, and it would be something really special. One of the announcements that Scott didn't see within the bulletin is Discipleship Explored. If you are a new believer in Christ, at the Central Campus, during the 9 o'clock service, which would mean you would have to miss worshiping with us, but they do Discipleship Explored for 10 weeks. Now, I have taught that class, and it's a fun class to teach, and it's meant for new believers or those who might be just searching. You guys keep talking about Jesus Christ, but I'm not yet quite convinced. It's a great, great class, and feel free to go. It would be a blessing to you. I'm confident of that. And so to be able to do that. We are going to finish up this morning with family part three. And this is talking about children and children's obligations, dad's obligations, parents' obligations kind of thing. And we live in a time where, the thoughts of raising children can be overwhelming. And matter of fact, last night at the Central Campus online, you can sign up for the Art of Parenting class. It's the first time that Rocky Mountain Calvary has offered that. It is Saturday nights during the service, so that if you need children's ministry. They offer that, and so you can put your children in the children's ministry and then go to this great class. And the great thing about this one, it's totally free. And so if you just want to grow in that a little bit and be able to communicate with other parents and different struggles that you go through, that we all go through in parenting, that is a great opportunity. So I'd encourage you to go ahead and sign up for it. It will start in 3 weeks, and I think it lasts about 10 weeks. But sign up online just so that they know the number so that they can get the right amount of material. Parenting is important. You know, and sometimes that gets lost by the wayside because parents get overwhelmed in life. And that's just a reality. The issues of life can be super distracting from the main thing that God has called us to as men and women who have been blessed with children. We can get distracted from loving each other the way God wants us to love each other. We know that. We see that. I've experienced that. I'm sure many of you have experienced that. And that becomes a distraction to where children then, to a certain degree, get left behind, one way or another. Now, that's a sobering thought. You know, when I was a kid growing up, and one of the homes that I was in had a TV, and it was my first thing of watching black and white TV, and I'm sure there's some of you here, what's black and white TV? But anyways, and there used to be a show on called the Art Linkletter show, and children say the darndest things, you know, and it was a fun thing, even though I was a little tot. You know, at the time, to be able to hear what kids say. I'm sure crazy things came out of my mouth when I was a kid. I don't know about you, but I just remember one. He asked a little guy, do you help your mommy around the house? Oh, yes, I help my mommy all the time around the house. And what do you love to do for mommy? And he goes, oh, I help her make breakfast. And Art Linkletter got a smile like he normally did, and with the thought of breakfast instead of breakfast, and just to give you an indication how young he was. And how do you help mommy make breakfast? And he goes, oh, she lets me help make toast. Oh, what is it? What does he do? And I put the toast in the toaster. But she won't let me flush it. Children are treasures. You know, and as we look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6, and for those of you who might be new to the Ellicott campus here, we do go verse by verse through Scripture. We do have Bibles available for you. If you don't have one, you know, just kind of raise your hand, and the guys back there will make sure that you get one. And it's yours for free if you don't have one at home. We just yearn for every home to have God's Word. I have to apologize, at least at my age, it's small print. I can't, you know, but it is there, and it is there for you to have and to enjoy. But honoring God's treasures, you know, in Psalm 127, the psalmist declared, children are a gift from God. They are a reward from Him. Now, there are times in Diane's and my life and raising our four critters, you know, at times we were pulling our hair out saying, gift? Really, Lord? Is this your practical joke on me? No. You know, because sometimes, you know, children, as they grow and they start very, very early with this thing of stubbornness, and that's just sin nature coming out, every child wants to grow in independence. And the question is how do you and I as parents help nurture that, because they are a gift from God. They are not our property. They are, for you and I, ones that we are to nurture in the Lord so that they can leave the nest. We are not supposed to cocoon them the rest of the days of our lives. They are meant to spring forward and potentially become a family themselves along the line by marrying a man or a woman, you know, and just enjoy life then as their own family and their own entity. Their own entity. And the joy of becoming a family, you know, that leaving and cleaving that we saw early on with a family. Or if you have the gift of singleness, the joy of being used by God in the midst of all of that and just relishing the relationship with the Lord that Paul talks about often, that is a good thing as well, and realizing you're not losing anything. You still have God. You still have so many things and areas in which God personally wants to use you, equipped within that, within the body of Christ in so many different ways. And so it always comes back to the body of Christ. And that's why we look at this beautiful letter that is written to us, and it starts with this thought of having this glorious relationship with Christ where we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in high places in Christ Jesus, because for by grace we have been saved through faith. We realize it's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, lest we would boast. And so it's that salvation and walk, and therefore he gets to the point of saying, therefore become imitators of God, growing in God's grace, magnifying his love, his light to a lost and dying world, and being a part of the body of Christ to where we know how to sing with one another and know how to have just this wonderful relationship with him, truly redeeming the time wisely, being filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks to the Lord in everything, learning how to submit to one another in fear of God. Last week we talked about what does that look like for a church to submit to one another in fear of God, and we're going to end on that note today. So I going to ask you to be thinking through if you and I truly, within the body of Christ, submit to one another in fear of God, how that will impact our children within the body of Christ. Parenting. I have to admit, when my son was born, I was on cloud nine. I was in a military hospital. I was watching a sports show. I'm a big sportsaholic. And I'm thinking, yeah, I got a boy. And I got him home, and I said, what do I do with this? I had no clue. And reality began to overwhelm me. And it continued all the way through. But at times, God would reveal himself in the most profound, wonderful ways. And it started with salvation, me. Radically transforming and making a difference for his glory. I'm not going to stand up here and say I've got a corner on parenting. We learned a lot over the years with four children, born every leap year, so we had a lot of experience. And then we also had a lot of college debt too, just so you know, but it's a reality of life. God can do great and mighty things in a home where he is center. So let's concentrate on that today. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again for the wonder of your love. Thank you for the joy of children. And I know for some here who maybe have walked through barrenness or the loss of a child, Father, the pain is deep and real. And Father, I pray that even in the midst of this passage, that they would see you in all of your glory and realize that we all impact children some way, somehow. And Father, for those of us who are parents and grandparents, Lord, how I pray that you would just encourage our hearts. Yeah, maybe we've made mistakes. Maybe we've blown it big time. But Father, you are the God of not just second chances, but you are the God of reality to where you radically change things for your glory. And so we ask not only for repentance and healing, but Father, I pray that you would be pleased to bring true joy to our hearts and lives as we consider these treasures that are all around us. They're downstairs. They are excited to be here. They are excited about who you are. Oh, Father, bless our time together, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Raising children in the Lord's name. That is what we ought to be doing, raising children mostly in the Lord's love, because his name is love. Jesus is love. Christ is love. God is love. We see that throughout the scriptures. And so raising children that way within a home. Now, the easiest way for that to happen is both mom and dad know Christ as Savior. We know that. We know that that's not always there. But if you are a parent in an unequally yoked scenario, married to somebody who doesn't care about God, pursue God. As I said, within your marriage as well as in parenting, pursue God. All the way through. And I won't say that it's easy in any way, shape, form, or manner, but that is what God would want you to do, pursue the Lord. And all of his love, so that that love and passion can flow out to that child or children or to that spouse. And as Peter wrote, who knows? And as Paul wrote, who knows? Maybe your spouse would come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and that's your greatest yearning, is for the child. Now, the first command here is for the child. I understand that. Look at the child's instruction. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The child's instruction, obeying parents. Now, this is in the Lord. Again, just like husbands and wives, the thought is, if that would be okay in God's eyes, do it. You know, guess what? If mom and dad say, make the bed, God doesn't mind if you make the bed. Seriously. Yeah. And I want you to know, I'm married to the bed Nazi. The kids had to have their bed made before they left for school in the morning. And if you know anything about sons and some daughters, when they get to be 14, 15, 16, the last thing they want to do is get up early enough to make bed, let alone primp and get to school. You know, but Diane insisted upon, you're not leaving this house until the bed is made. Do you know what my son did? Now, he's a smarty. He made his bed, pulled out his sleeping bag, and he slept in his sleeping bag for about 4 years. I don't know what he did when he got married, how that changed, but he making bed didn't come easily for him, and so he tried to find an escape route. I'm sure your kids didn't do that. But, you know, obeying mom and dad. And again, it's in the Lord. So it's two-edged this way. Parents need to be directing them, disciplining them teaching them in the Lord. And we'll get to that. Everything has to center around the Lord. This is for the Lord's glory. You know, and children are to obey mom and dad. And it goes on to say this in the wonder of it. I'll share a few things from the book of Proverbs first. This thought of the child's instruction is listening intently and doing what mom and dad want. That is it. When it says children obey your parents, that means listening intently and doing what they say. My kids didn't like taking out garbage. My kids did not like shoveling snow. We lived in the Northeast, and when they got a certain age, I thought, gosh, they can use a shovel just as well as I can. We did not own a dishwasher for a long time because we had dishwashers at home. They were called teenagers, and we enjoyed it, you know, but we wanted to share and help them see responsibility within the home as well as what they might learn in school. In our day and age with parenting, I think we fall into two areas of confusion. We think it's left up to the school to raise our kids. And I want you to know it doesn't matter which school you send your children to, even if you homeschool, that is not the only thing that a child needs in growing in this culture and era. They need parenting. Parenting plus, husbands and wives, and they need to learn how to listen just like they would listen to a teacher in a school. Secondly, it is not also just up to the church. It is not just up to the youth pastor or whoever. It is up to us as parents. We are the first place of responsibility in God's eyes. We are the ones that have been entrusted with this beautiful gift. And so here with our children, you know, and so in Proverbs 23, it says this, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is a little older. Same chapter, different verse, fathers of the righteous will greatly rejoice. In other words, if our children become righteous, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Further on down in chapter 23, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Later on in the chapter, my son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. And that's God teaching. You know, the joy of listening intently and doing what parents earnestly want our children to do. When he wrote to Colossae, Paul put it this way, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You know, it brings a smile to God's heart and mind when children obey. I don't know where it was the first time you realized that children didn't obey you, but one of the bigger places in our home was it's time for bed. All four of our children figured out that was just a warning. We've got an extra hour. Some way, somehow, in that little stubborn heart, you know, they were going to figure out 19 different things that they really had to do before they went to bed. And so encouraging them to go to bed on time was something that was a part of our lives, and wanting them to listen intently. And Diane picked up on something really quick, really fast, which I'm thankful for. She loved reading to our children, and that is something I grew to love as well. And so that was the little nugget that encouraged our children to go to bed. We would read to them. We'd tell them three stories tonight, you know, the little golden books, something like that. You get to pick them out, you know, and different things. But to be able to get them to start listening to instruction, and then we've got their hearts and their minds, you know, afterwards, and they are listening intently. And so you have opportunities to do other things. After salvation, we got a little Bible story book, Bible Stories for Little Eyes, I think was what it was. Pardon? Yeah, by Ken Taylor, the one that got all the grief for writing the Living Bible, if you are old enough to remember what that was. And yet he said, I know it's a paraphrase and it's meant for my children, my teens, so that they can understand God's word better. Personally, I don't mind the Living Bible. If you use it, amen, you know, and enjoy it, you know, and the wonders of it, you know, and being able to share it with your children. The one thing that we loved about this particular kind that Ken Taylor brought out, after every single little Bible story, it had questions. And so you could ask the question. And then you could build on that to be able to help them see and start hearing instruction from the Lord as well as from parents. And so you want them to do that, and you want them to do the things, because this child's instruction comes with a huge promise. Look at verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now that honoring. Now we live in a time of great abuse, and not every parent deserves honor, and I understand that. But yet there is a point to where we can still sit back, and I never learned this as a child with my dad. I'm just going to be candid with you, because we were unsaved, we were chaotic. It was a different home. And so I did not learn this part of Scripture until I'm almost 30 years old. And that's horrible. There was nothing in my dad's life that I wanted to honor at all, because I never thought anything was honorable within it. And I had to learn to do that before he trusted Christ. I had to learn how to do that before he did anything that was honorable, whether it was towards mom or now grandkids. We struggled. I have to admit, taking our kids over, because we never knew what would come out. That's hard. I didn't want my 5-year-old hearing 4-letter words. And my dad couldn't put a sentence together without him, it seemed like, often. That was life. And wanting our children to respect grandpa and grandma just because they're grandpa and grandma. And we can't do that if we don't love them the way God wanted me to love them. And that was a learning curve for me, I'm being honest. And we see that abuse and everything else continues on. It's real. It is there. It's heart-wrenching. And yet, if you and I who know Christ are committed to doing things God's way, God gloriously shows up, either with the strength and grace just to do what he wants us to do with the love and emotion that he wants us to do, or he will come alongside and radically transform things, which he graciously did in my mom and dad's life. He radically transformed things. My dad, at the age of 68, trusted Christ as Savior. God didn't need to do that. At the time, I'm 31 years old, and God did this. And then you know what God did, which frustrated me for a moment. He lived in South Carolina, and we lived in, yeah, he was developing the accent like Scott. And, you know, we lived in New York, and that was just the perfect distance in my mind. But he decided to come home. But our children began to see a different man. And they knew something happened because Grandpa changed. The biggest thing that changed, I'm just going to be candid. And this is the power of God. For the first time in my recollection, I heard him look at Mom and say that he loved her. I never heard those words before. That is the radical transformation of God. That's why it always starts with Christ. It will always be with Christ. And if you and I are going to have any kind of home that magnifies that, even in the difficult areas of life, to do that. You know, and God's saying here, honor your parents. Honor them. And it comes with this promise, verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The promise. You know, it comes from Exodus 20. It says, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy has an opposite side of that. It says, cursed is the one who treats his father and mother with contempt. And all the people shall say amen. And that was what Christ came into when he began teaching about honoring your parents. We found kids actually taking advantage of moms and dads, especially single moms, and Christ knew this, and the Pharisees and the scribes were allowing it to happen. The high priests were allowing it to happen, and that's what frustrated him so much. That's why Christ himself said, suffer the little children to come to me. Hey guys, why are you telling the parents no? The parents want to bring their children to me? Hey, bring them. Let them come. He loves children. That's why Christ said it's better that a millstone be hung around the neck of one who abuses a child and that they get dumped into the deepest sea. He loves children. They are a treasure. And he calls upon you and I who know Christ as Savior to realize how much he loves them and how much of a precious gift they are for you and me, and to encourage them to honor mom and dad. Our kids, just by the grace of God, have turned out pretty good. And I know it's only by the grace of God because I didn't do a good job the first 12 and a half years of my son's life. I dragged him into places I shouldn't have, dragged him off to things because I wanted him to be with me. And it's only by God's radical transformation and grace and mercy that things can change. And ought to change. And I wish all children who love their parents lived to be 95 years old. And we know that that's not true. But yet, it will be well with them. Their promises of heaven and their reward in heaven is going to be so phenomenal. I truly believe that. Our son is, when he was 16, he was struggling in so many different ways of wanting to walk with God, wanting to listen to Dad. Dad had blown it so many times in this radical transformation he thought was just a ruse. It was just something else that was going on. He was making a ton of bad decisions. And yet I'm learning, and Diane's learning, that we still need to be parents of instruction. That we needed to be parents that tried to point him to Christ. And he came to us one night and he says, I want to go out with so-and-so and they're having a party and blah, blah, blah. And we said no. Well, his first reaction was a reaction that I often exhibited. Pure anger. Bang. Explosion happened. You know, and he was hopeful that the explosion would change our hearts and minds and allow him to go. And we didn't. We stuck to our guns. We didn't lock him in his room, though I thought about it for a moment. Because we just was fearful that in this group, drugs were going to be real. And it was going to be potentially an activity that night. Our son got to school only to find out that the kids that he would be with wrapped a car around a tree and drugs were involved and two were dead. That sparked a temporary light in his head that mom and dad might know something every now and then. Those sometimes are hard decisions that we have to make, but yet as parents, we have to understand that parents can't run the home. It is up to us, and as long as they are under our roof, we need to be nurturers in righteousness. That's what verse 4 says. Notice what it says. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That provoking, that's prodding, that's stimulating them just to get them angry. That's what it says. You know, and I have to admit that when the kids were younger, I did that. You know, rather than being the encouraging dad, the stimulating dad, to get them to do things God's way. Our son was a poorer academically, and it wasn't that he didn't try, but at times he didn't try. He just wanted to get by the seat of his pants. And then when he got to that 16 time, it became a little bit harder. And in trying to encourage him to do well in school and insist upon that thing that all kids hate, homework. You know, and homework is meant to be done at home. I understand that some schools have changed that thought. They give homework and then give them 3 study halls so they can do it all at school so they don't have to take it home. Whether that's a product of the children not getting time at home to do it or not being encouraged at home to do their homework, I don't know. But you know, the reality is homework is not a bad thing. It gives us opportunities to interact with our children about whatever they're learning. You know, I saw a big splash of homework for a health class. And the particular biology class put a very sexually explicit question in. And a dad, because he was active in their child's learning, saw it and went ballistic. What are you doing? There's an easier way to ask this question without it being sexually explicit. You know, and that's true. And as I read it, having taught health and biology, yeah, there's so many different ways the question could have been asked. And it's something we teach in schools, and it's okay, but it's how you teach it. That is the biggie. Dad wouldn't have known if he hadn't been active, proactive in the child's education. I don't know why, but up here, math comes easy, and I know a lot of you say, what? And I heard so many times in the classroom, what good is this going to do me out there, you know, in life? Well, I'm a firm believer that math is something awesome, and we'll use it every day of our life, many times in life, and becoming a machinist, I used it all the time. You know, math is a reality. You know, they couldn't lay this out here without knowing some math. That's the bottom line. And it's going to be a little patio that we're going to have out there, and it helps take care of a lot of stuff. So much so, I got permission. My dad is now restricted to a wheelchair, and I had a bunch of guys in my algebra class that were really, really testing me to the limit, you know, and how am I going to teach them math? They don't want to know it. They think it's useless and everything else. And so I got permission from the school to take these guys out. My dad's living in a trailer, and he just couldn't get down the steps, and it was hard for mom to help him down the steps. He really needed a ramp for his wheelchair. And so we went over, and just using the Pythagorean theorem, 3, 4, 5, we set all the posts, and we built it. And when we were finished, the guys go, "Whoa." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Look at that. Math. Being a part." My kids knew that they could come to me with their math problems, and I wouldn't do their math for them, but I could help them. Being active in, not provoking them to wrath. "Why don't you do better? Come on, you're not good enough for anything. You're not going to mount to a hill of beans." I heard thoughts like that all the time. Rather than, "We can figure it out. It's good for you to learn this. Let me try to help, even if I can't." And then when it comes to instruction in righteousness, which is that part of training that God wants us to do, you know, that training and admonition in the Lord is so real. Look at Hebrews with me. Just go ahead a few pages towards the book of Revelation. And go to Hebrews chapter 12. This captures that same thought, those same words, and this is right after the chapter of faith. And I want you to start, let's say verse 5. He says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. And what son is there whom the father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits who lives? For they indeed, for a few days, chasten us, and it seems best for them, but he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields, here it is, the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Allow it to overflood their hearts and lives. You know, parents' instruction. Don't prod them, instruct them. And last but not least, our hope. Every parent who is in Christ, their hope is that their child would not depart from it. Proverbs 22, "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, I don't know about you. I know old school was you've got to have family devotions every single day. And I want you to know, having a 2-year-old and a 16-year-old in the same house, it was hard to do it that way. We had so many different ages. And so we figured out a way that it would work. Now, you're going to laugh at this, but what we would do is we would get home from church and we would talk about the message, what they learned in their little Bible school, or if they were up here sitting with Mom, what they heard the preacher say that day, which ended up being Dad. And we would get home and we would talk about it. And then we would start talking about how those things, those principles that they learned, even if it is, God loves me as a little one. And then we would carry that through the week, wanting them to apply that principle to their life throughout the week. They'd come home from school frustrated. You know, I'll never forget our seven-year-old. She was just a little square gal who loved being outside. She was browner than brown, and we had black hair, and we cut it short, and she came home. She's angry. She's mad. And what is wrong? You know, and in tears, they kept calling me a boy today. And being able to sit down and talk with her about the principles that we had learned over the last couple of weeks in church about how she should respond to those who are provoking her and picking on her, trying to bully her in school. That's not easy, but that's what we chose to do. We would take a verse of scripture and stretch it and build on it. But you know where the greatest teaching came of all? As they watched Mom and Dad. Did we really love God? Or was it a passing fancy that we tried to push on them? Do we really enjoy God? Or is it, yeah, I got to do it, go to church? Or is he real? Did they see us rely upon him during the difficult times, submitting to one another in fear of God? How do you think a church, a body of believers, the ecclesia, if we truly submit to one another in fear of God, will impact those little ones downstairs? What do you think they will see in your life and my life? I asked you to be thinking about this throughout. What do you think they'll be seeing? If we're submitting to one another in fear of God, what do you think they will hear and see? Any ideas? Nothing. I think they will see a passion for God where he is first. I think they would see a genuine relationship. I am hopeful that everyone who partakes downstairs in leadership form, that their love and joy in the Lord is visible week in and week out, whether they feel bad or not, whether they're exhausted or not, that these kids would see, wow, they love talking about Jesus, teaching us, you know, or even the hard stuff. You know, they love him. They would see what communion really is, or community really is. You know, somebody came out with a community raises a child, and everybody got up in arms, and I want you to know, guess what? In the body of Christ, to a certain degree, it's real. If they see chaos and turmoil in the church, and that's all they see within the church, do you think they're going to want to walk with God once they get out of the home? Chances are they're going to get to the school and they're going to hear all this other stuff and they're going to start denying that there is a God. Do you realize that the numbers for kids who go to a Christian school, it's 3 out of 5 deny the faith before they're out of college? We want to train up a child in the way he goes so he does not depart from it. And we're a part of that. Let me read to you something that was in USA Today recently. Would somebody help me save my son? My son is 2 years old, and a reflection of complete innocence. His vulnerability to this harsh, violent, ignorant, uncaring world just rips my heart apart. He knows nothing of the killing within our schools, the schools that are supposed to prepare him for the world. He knows nothing of the abuse that happens within homes to children of his age. As he plays with his toys, he is oblivious to the tragedies that occur every day across the country. And as he clutches his blanket, sleeping soundly, dreaming of mommy and daddy who love him, he has no idea of the complete social and moral decay of our country. Does anyone care anymore? Will someone please help me save my son? That might be the culture and the world we live in, but if adults are completely given over to who God is in their lives, there is hope in the reality of the chaos and gunk that is out there. And we need to be a part of that. We live in a community where there are so many teens that are desperate to know the love of Christ. And we want to so much get them here so that they can experience that on occasion. Not to force the Bible down their throats, but to introduce them to one who honestly cares about them. And to see what he can do in their hearts and lives. We're going to sing a couple of songs. Allow our worship to be sweet. Let's stand as we close our time in prayer. And if you have need, I'd invite you to come forward for prayer as we consider how great God is. He radically transforms lives. Our Father and our God, as we stand here humbly before you, Lord, we just yearn to be used of you. I know for a second week this is kind of a heavy, heavy message, and yet it's so needed. We need to be a people that just passionately pursue you and love you and share that. Whether it's in the Spanish community, whether it's in the overall community, whether it's here in our midst, Lord, you know where we are as parents. You know where we are as grandparents. You know where we are as husband and wife. You know where we are in our relationship with you, single, old, young. Father, how I pray that each of our hearts is given over to you. Lord, I'd be foolish to think that every person here knows Christ as Savior. Father, I pray today that if there is one that would have the courage just to come up and say, I want to know him, Lord, that they would come up. And Father, if they can't get out of their seat, Lord, I pray that they would pray this prayer with me. Jesus Christ, I trust that you are God and God alone. Your word declares that. And I thank you for going to the cross for me and dying for my sins. Please forgive me my sin. And I trust Jesus Christ alone as my personal Savior. And I know, Lord, if they just pray those words and believe it in their heart, that you would save them and they become your child. And there's no greater place to be than to be a child of the Most High God and to receive his unconditional. Father, meet every need of every heart here today as only you can. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Lost are saved. Find their all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, Son of God.
Stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. battle in the grave, the war on hand with its rage, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the storm was rolled away. His perfect love cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrection King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
We sing alleluia, we sing alleluia, we sing alleluia, the Lamb is overcome. We sing alleluia, we sing alleluia, we sing alleluia, the Lamb is overcome.
So much that we are alive in you. God, we thank you that ultimately you are our Father. And Lord, as you grow the parents in this room, Lord, and you grow the future parents in this room, Lord, God, we look to you as our representation. And I pray, Lord, that more and more the love for you, Lord, will be reflected in each family here. We pray for those things, God, knowing that you desire it, Lord, and you desire us to be in love with you, Lord, and I pray that that will be reflected in these families. So we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week, Lord.